dream high in the quiet of the night. You know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy. What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3:30 and it is Thursday and it is before the election. So I am joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley. These two gals you'll find every Thursday at 3:30 until we hit that magic date of November 5th. Thanks so much, Dr. Lierley, for making some time. I don't know about you, but before we dive into the politics, I was just thinking during the bottom of the hour, I just started to put out some of my fall decorations and like get into the fall swing of things because it is a balmy 72 degrees outside right now. And I was just trying to feel the flow of summer for as long as possible. Are you, and I love fall. It is by far my favorite season. Do you have a favorite season? And are you into the decor? I mean, not right now because, you know, you're doing a couple of other things like an active medical practice and running for Congress and you have five kids. You're busy. But in general, do you get into the seasonal decorations and what's your favorite season?
I am not really a seasonal decorations kind of gal. I appreciate other people's seasonal decorations, but I am not. But I do appreciate, I'm a gardener. I'm a master gardener.
Yes.
So I love the evolution. And there's not one season that I love. I like how it changes.
Yeah.
Because it's like life, you know, something's always new. It's always different. So even in the winter, that's time to tuck it in and think about what you're going to do next year. You think about your seeds that you're going to start.
Yes.
And then spring comes and it's like, you know, birth and everything's so green and beautiful. And then summer, I love to be outside and the warmth. And then fall, you know, everything's just colorful and, you know, you're looking at all the stuff that you've done in the past. You're eating all those last tomatoes off the vine.
Yes.
And
oh.
So I just love it all. I love living in Wisconsin. I can't imagine living in a place where we don't have seasons.
For sure. Right. I enjoy the change. I wish, you know, when climate change, we are having longer summers these days.
Yeah.
But for me, the fall decorations is mostly about the plants, right? Like putting in the mums, getting out the corn stalks, the harvest season, that whole thing. Less of the, you know, like big inflatable witch on lawn thing. That's not really my jam. You're not going to see me picking one of those up at the Home Depot. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. No, I want to eat stuff. Like I want to go to the apple orchard and I want to get some pumpkins. You know, I could do some decorations there, but I want like apples and I want them to be fresh and I want to make a pie. That's something that I always do every fall is I make a pie and it's just like, I wait for it.
Yes.
I wait for that time.
My favorite pie is the, it's a easy way to make this. It sounds difficult, but it is a combo apple cranberry pie.
Oh, interesting. That's so Wisconsin.
It is so Wisconsin. I love it. It is delicious. But listen, I didn't bring you here to talk seasons, but it just, sometimes it's nice to ease into these things. There's so much happening these days. And I love that you are a master gardener. I was listening to you on Jane just a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I've got to get Kristen's tips on roses because my mother is big into the roses, but we'll do that another time. You had this big debate last Friday. And first of all, congratulations. I am so glad that your opponent and you both agreed to a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And frankly, thank you to your opponent as well. This is how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about it? And we'll get into some of the substance, but I just, your overall feeling, were you real stressed out? Did you feel calm beforehand? Was it super nerve wracking? What was it like?
I've never done a debate before. I wasn't one of those debate kids in high school, so I didn't know what I was going to feel like when I was up there, but I just kept saying to myself, all I'm doing is answering questions.
Yeah.
And I do that all the time, you know, like as a doctor in the office, my whole job is to listen and then to answer questions and to help talk about solutions. So it's a little bit of a different arena, but it's kind of the same thing. And I felt really good about it because I had answers to all the questions because I've been doing this for a long time. And every time that there's an opportunity to learn something, whether it's about what's happening in Israel or the housing crisis or all of these problems that people at every event that we have, whenever I knock a door, people have concerns. And listening to their concerns and thinking about solutions conversations. That is just fun for me. I know that we were talking about being nerdy when we were off the, when we were not on the air yet. I just love solving problems and helping people. So this is all just part of that. And you know what you said earlier about my opponent showing up for this debate, we're not seeing a lot of this in areas like Northeast Wisconsin. We have the League of Women Voters isn't even able to get the Republicans to come to the table to talk about these issues. So the fact that my opponent showed up and he engaged in this discourse and we talked about the issues, I thought was a huge step forward. And I was really pleased and proud to be part of that. It was very civil. I definitely pointed out contrast between he and I, which is the point of a debate. And I think that I was shining in comparison. But, you know, it's great to be able to have those conversations because the voters of Northeast Wisconsin, the voters all across the state, all across this country deserve to know who are the people that they're electing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And what I hear every time I hear you on the radio or when we're talking Thursdays at 3:30, what I hear from you, Dr. Lyerly, is a curiosity and a desire to help the people in the 8th Congressional District. And thirdly, a dose of humility about it. And that, I think, if there were three sort of nonpartisan things that I would wish of every candidate, humility, curiosity, and a genuine desire to serve. And it that sets up what I thought was the most marked contrast from the debate. And I think those three qualities that you have were evident. And why your opponent was there was less so. Right. Like I kept thinking, like, this guy seems a little fish out of water, like he hasn't really thought through all of these things. Like, why are you actually doing this? And the term I have for it is the rich guy hobby job. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a hobby job for your opponent. It's like, oh, that'd be cool. You know, other people kissing my butt. Right. Like, this is not born of some passion project that he's had. His life has not been in service. And so I thought that came out in really clear ways. And as you were drawing contrasts on various issues, whether or not someone tends to be more liberal or conservative, or they consider themselves sort of a centrist pragmatist, what was notable to me that on issue after issue, but the one I want to focus on immediately is the question over the federal government's role in education policy was so stark. What I heard from your opponent was this sort of nonsense, like, of course you'd just eliminate the federal Department of Education. We don't want the federal government deciding what our students are learning. And it's like, well, if you want all kids to be fairly and equitably educated and avoid discrimination in education, and we want to have a known or knowable stream of funding, right? And we want kids to be safe and we have some baseline approach. Yeah, you do. What I don't want is a bunch of religious zealots telling my local school board what library books kids should be reading. I'd rather have experts doing that. That was just such a stark contrast. And I wanted to ask you about that because I thought what he was saying was basically garbage.
Well, his answer made me question whether he really understood what the role of the Department of Education is.
Right.
Because it sounded like he was talking about very local education issues, some of the things that happen here in the state with the voucher program, and, you know, making these very personal decisions about your own child's education. And, you know, I was thinking about things in very broad terms, like how do we make funding available for students, not just students in K through 12, but, you know, beyond that. And something that he said and the way that he said it really got under my skin. He said something like, it's, you know, all people aren't college material and some people will have to go into the trades. And he made it sound like a booby prize.
Yeah.
And as somebody who, I have family members who are electricians and plumbers and linesmen, and they work these hard, dangerous jobs. And they're not less than college material. They're doing important things that are the fabric of society. I have friends who are garbage collectors, who are raising their families with a good job and a good pension. And I'm so grateful to them for what they do. And he just, it was his bias and his snobbery that came out with that comment. And I thought, damn, that is not who the people deserve to represent them. They deserve better.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. It's like, oh, Tony, you've told us all we need to know about you, you big old snoot. But he also said this about education. He said the money should stay here and not go to the federal government. I was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like one of the primary functions of the Department of Education is ensuring that federal funding gets into local school districts, and it's the local districts that then decide how to spend it, you moron. I mean, I'm sorry to be so harsh about this, but that was extremely disturbing to me because, one, it's this tired, old, stupid GOP talking point, and two, he hadn't done anything except know the talking point. He literally knew nothing about the subject matter, and I was like, you want to be in Congress? Like, that's scary. So maybe I know of a fourth axis. You got to be curious, humble, and you want to have a genuine desire to serve and know something. I guess that maybe goes with the curiosity. It's like, Tony, go back to the private sector. You don't know anything about the stuff that you're talking about.
Seriously. You know, I was just thinking about my dearest childhood friend who teaches special education at Kakana High School. And she does incredible work. And it's incredible work for her own students, but for the entire school. The way that they support each other and raise each other as a community is just beautiful. And that's an area where the federal government has consistently failed, an area where we can absolutely do better. And I pointed that out and he just breezed right over that. You know, there was no understanding of the opportunities that we have. It was all this classic GOP rhetoric about fear and division, and it just doesn't serve the people. You know, we know that. You could see it in the audience with the, you heard audible groans from people as he was giving these answers.
It's people know what's BS and what's not, right? And the reality is Wisconsinites, we want things to work. We want them to work for our communities. And a guy that doesn't even have like the basic understanding of how the government agencies interact from a federal to state to local level, I almost felt embarrassed for him. I mean, I didn't. I have no sympathy, but I almost did because it was so embarrassing, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, of course, about the discussion over women's reproductive freedoms, because again, what the guy was saying, I was like, what, dude? What are you even? Go away. He kept at his repeated line to you when you were talking about reproductive freedoms, were like, well, this is a state issue now. If you're so passionate about it, why aren't you running for the state legislature? And I thought, no, it's not, you dummy. Like, they've introduced national abortion bans. There are IVF cases moving their way up through the courts. Like, stop lying to people. And by the way, whatever campaign consultant told him that was a good line should be fired. It wasn't. Your thoughts, Kristen?
Well, first of all, we have incredible people up here running for state legislature. They don't need me because those folks are going to take it, bring it home for Wisconsin. And second of all, he has no defense. All he can say is give it back to the states. He can't talk about this issue at all. He is so incredibly uncomfortable with it. And he knows that his party fails every single time. Yeah, I pointed out that moms and babies are dying as a result of abortion bans, and he has absolutely no defense. So I wasn't surprised by that. Actually, I was really curious to what he was going to say, and of course, he came up with, you know, something incredibly weak.
A bunch of nothing. I mean, it's such a nothing burger response. Like, answer the question. People have asked me over time on occasion, when are you going to run for something? I'm like, never, because I wouldn't be able to keep my blankety blank together when I would hear stuff like, I'd just be like, that's nonsense. What are you even talking about, you dolt? It was terrible. Thank you for kicking his butt. It was a nice postscript to me for Kamala kicking the Cheetos butt.
Yeah, girl.
Absolutely. I love hanging out with this girl. She's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for the 8th Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin. She's going to kick her opponent's butt on November 5th, just like she did last Friday in their debate. She's here with me every Thursday at 3:30 until that magic date. Thanks so much, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Maggie.
We'll be back with more here on the Maggie Dawn Show after these brief messages. I'm going to tell you my final thoughts about the $1.7 billion in taxpayer savings that Republicans refuse to move forward on that would help insure more Wisconsinites. Should be a no-brainer. I'll break it down.